time again to get excited. What's it time for? The offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, why should you get excited about the offering? I mean, after all, taking money out of your pocket, having to discipline yourself for what you got left, you just have the wrong perspective. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Thank God for the opportunity to give. Thank you, Lord. Matter of fact, I was on my way down this morning, and the Lord said, what are you believing for? And I told him, and he said, well, what are you going to do about it? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, God does shrug. He said, are you a tither? Well, yeah, Lord. Then are you going to tithe? And I said, well, yeah, Lord. And he said, are you going to wait till it comes in, or are you going to get your faith out there? I'll just let you chew on that. As we come into the time of the offering, when we see a promise like the one we're about to read here, we should seriously just sit and consider sometimes exactly what it says. This is written to you. God personally dictated this particular scripture with you in mind. He did it in such a way that he expressed his heart completely. And he said, this is what I want to have happen in your life. That's what is the inspiration of Scripture is all about, is God's heart speaking to us. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, Jesus is speaking, so is it the truth? Yes. If Jesus wasn't speaking and it was Scriptures, it's still the truth. It's at least truly recorded, right? Because not everything that you read in Scripture is accurate to what God says. Get what I'm going to say here. Sometimes it's just an accurate report of the events. And then God comes along and says, and this is what should have happened. This is what my will was. How many of you know God never intended for Jonah to be in the belly of the whale? God had a better plan. But Jonah ended up there by his own decisions. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus is speaking and says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Is there no one with revelation? That's a good place where you ought to be shouting. You should be shouting. Do you see what that says? It says, give and what? This is a declarative statement. Give and it will be given to you. Not it might be given to you. Not it may be given to you. Not sometimes you'll get it. Give and it will be given unto you.
Amen.
And then it gets good. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Everybody say too much?
Too much.
Too much. Too much to contain because God never intended for you to hoard it. God is not a hoarder. Poke the person next to you and say, and just like him, neither am I. My wife says that people in our church are going to be bruised till I leave. From being poked. One woman told me she sharpened her elbows every Sunday before she came to church. Good measure. Good measure. What's a good measure? You walk into a restaurant and they give you the gourmet portions with a good portion of decoration. You walk into a family restaurant, you sit down and you go, it's only me. That's a good measure. When you can feed a family of four off of your plate, that's a good measure. How many of you think that God is less generous than people in the earth? How many of you think God is more generous than people in the earth? If God says good measure, we're measuring by His standard, not ours. And God's good measure will be too much for you. If you look at the Garden of Eden, it's too much. There's no way they can consume the amount of fruit, vegetables. There's no way they can use everything that's there. It's impossible to use it all. And the whole point is, God never intended for us to keep it to ourselves. We're here to share. We're here to increase other people. Psalm 37 says, in the midst of famine, the righteous have plenty. So that we can go, ha ha, I have it, you don't. Or so we can say, come on in. The Lord has provided. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen?
Our church has an emergency response program. I thought that's what the church was, but they have a structured program for emergency response, and it includes all kinds of food and shelter and electrical supply and all kinds of things, so that in the event that something happens, we have a rapid response team who shows up and gets it to where it needs to be. Hallelujah. When I came in, I said, so what's the status of that program? And they said, well, we haven't done anything with it in 2 years. And I said, then I think it's time to rework the program, because I know there's been emergencies within the last 2 years. A little while later, the tornadoes happened in Missouri. Within 48 hours, we were able to have response assembled and ready to roll to meet needs in Missouri. That's the church.
Amen.
And the only reason we can do it is because of what this scripture says. Because we're givers. Our church is filled with great givers, and I know that this church is too. Thank God for good givers.
Amen.
That makes kingdom business possible.
Amen.
If there's a need, we often give to a need. But the reality is, if we're following the Holy Ghost, we're giving whether we see a need or not. We're doing what the Holy Ghost tells us to do, and we're doing it to the level the Holy Ghost tells us to do. We're doing it in the time frame the Holy Ghost tells us to. Then we get to the last part of this verse that says, for with whatever measure you measure, it's going to be measured back to you. If you can let your... Everybody look at the person next to you and say, he loves me, he really loves me. If you can let your tithe checks pile up for weeks, don't be surprised when the answer to your prayers piles up for weeks waiting on you. If you give to the penny what you think is required of you, don't be surprised if all you get is to the penny of what you need. If you want to see God be generous towards you, be generous toward His business. If you want to see God answer your prayers rapidly, answer His prompting rapidly. Somebody made the comment that we need to learn to respond to the nudges of God, not the shouts. We need to learn to recognize His expressions and respond accordingly instead of waiting to feel His hand. Now, I had kids. I was a kid. I know what that means. That means you recognize the look on Dad's face and you move before you feel the back of His hand. God is out there trying to get us in position to receive blessing. He's trying to get us to where He can cause increase to happen in our life. He's trying to get us to be in the place where when the blessing is just gushing, we're overwhelmed. That's what He wants for us. That's His will for us. And most of us are still putting suntan oil on the beach. Not on us, on the beach. Trying to figure out why things aren't working the way they're supposed to. Let's be what God calls us to be. Let's do it the way that God calls us to do it. Let's see the results that God has for us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Hopefully you've come in planning to give. Amen? Because we give what we give on purpose, with purpose. We give it on purpose because God looks for givers, not bucket plunkers. God is looking for people who have come prepared to walk in covenant with Him. My wife, she started doing something, and I kind of laughed at her. She started doing it because she hated the people looking at her when she tore her check out of her checkbook. You know that sound that it makes? See, my check is already torn out because she taught me. It's filled out, it's torn out, it's ready to go. What that says is there's some forethought that went into this. I'm giving on purpose. I came prepared to give. There's nothing that I hate worse than getting to church, reaching in my pocket and going, where'd I put my checkbook? That tells me there was no forethought in my day when it came to giving. We come in prepared to give. And as we give with purpose. There are offering envelopes that are available to us. And these offering envelopes do a couple of things. First of all, it allows you to share whatever needs there might be in your life. It allows you to share whatever praise reports there might be in your life. There's a place right there for that to go on. Take advantage of it. Share the good things that are going on. Share the good things. Because there's other people who need to hear about how God's blessing you, because it's going to be just the encouragement they need to get through what they're going through. There are other people who have been through what you're going through. You're not the only one to go through it. You're not the only one who ever went through it. You're not the last one who's going to go through it. And the people who've already been through it successfully, come out on the other side, are just looking to join with you in faith. So share your needs. So the intercessors will come in. They'll pray for you. They will get results, because the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. There's also a place on here where you can mark to give by cash donation if you want a receipt. If you're giving by check, make it out to CWI. However you spell million is fine. We will find a way to get it cashed. As long as it's good, we'll take it. If you're giving by credit card, and I know a few of you have taken advantage of this, there is a way to give by credit card on here. For those of you who have taken the Dave Ramsey course, just close your ears. Or use your debit card, yes. Just make sure you fill it out completely so we have all the information we need to be able to process that. Okay? Does anyone need an offering envelope this morning? Just raise your hand. Our ushers will be glad to get them for you. Thank God for handsome ushers. Amen? Well, thank God for ugly ushers. How about thank God for mediocre average ushers? I think that you guys are blessed. Amen? Are you ready to give this morning? Take your gift and put it in your hand. We're going to do something a little Old Testament here. We're going to take and lift it up over our head. We're going to wave it. Say, God, here's my offering. God, here's my offering. This is what I think of you. Just begin to worship God with your offering, waving it over your head, and just tell Him how much you love Him, how much you care, how much He means to you. Father God, this is my faith in you. This is how I believe you. Hallelujah. Father, this is our seed to sow. You said you give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. We bring our seed gratefully to you, Father, knowing that as we sow this seed, as the ground has been prepared, it's good ground. It's your kingdom we're sowing into. And we expect, Father, the word has promised results. We expect results. And Father, we're looking forward to the days of harvest that this seed produces, and we thank you for the day of harvest that is today, that our seed in the ground before this has already brought to pass. We're good receivers, Father. We're good harvesters, and we thank you that you give us wisdom in showing us how to maximize our harvest. As we sow this, Father, we sow it in faith believing, because we know that's what pleases you. Take it. Use it for your honor and your glory. Expand the influence of your kingdom. Change lives forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Shout somebody. Hallelujah. Our ushers will wait on our people. People give with a cheerful heart. Amen. Hallelujah. While they're doing that, can I share you a couple good things that have been going on with us? We left here, it was right around this time last year that we started the process of, they call it candidating, but we were set up so there wasn't any candidating to it. God, I mean, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and we started into the process to find out that God was way ahead of us in the process, and so we ended up pastoring Christ Victory Church August 1st of last year. Thank God for being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. In the time that I've been at Christ Victory Church, we're averaging about 10 people a month being born again. We've seen complete healing from pancreatic cancer, leukemia, prostate cancer, heart disease. And we're just getting started. Wait till they find out what I really believe. I think Bob Dunphy has been to visit you guys at least once. Maybe not. Maybe just Dale knows him. But Bob Dunphy stands about this tall. He's a kind of an unassuming 81-year-old. Not real impressive in terms of his preaching skills. He came in to preach for us. Next thing you know, he's on the floor doing calisthenics and getting people healed in ways that they never expected. And I'm looking at him and going, nobody but Bob. I want to be just like Bob when I grow up. Bob's had 4 people raised from the dead under his ministry. He's had thousands of people that have been healed through his ministry, thousands delivered from demons through his ministry. And we're seeing right now, on average, 350 people a week come into the kingdom in Burkina Faso, West Africa. Hallelujah. For the last several months, there's been a famine in Burkina, and it's been a really difficult time. And our church stepped up to be part of what was going on there. And it's going to sound like we did something really spectacular. It wasn't spectacular from our side, but boy, did the impact on the other side. We gave some special giving. One of the things that I found out when I got to our church was they didn't tithe. And I said, I thought you guys were a word church. And they said, what are we supposed to tithe? And I said, well, yeah. And they said, well, then I guess we better start. And right away, I mean, they didn't look at the budget, they didn't look at the bills, they just started tithing. Now, the beauty of that is we went from having a negative cash flow every month in the months leading up to that, to we've had a positive cash flow every month since we started to tithe. I love the word. In our giving in the first 2 months of the year through Robert Dunphy Ministries, we were able to feed 12 villages for a full month each time we gave. The estimation is that over 200 people per village had their lives saved from starvation as a result of that. That's not the good part. That's not the good part. In those villages, we've seen 150 people born again in each village every month since. That's the good part. Because what good is it if people go to hell full? We do want to feed them. But I'd much rather see them in heaven no matter what. Amen? Amen. Do we have any kids in the house? Any kids who'd like to have children's ministry this morning? Yes. How about we celebrate our kids as we let them go? Hallelujah. God loves kids. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. How many of you have read the book Heaven is for Real? Good book. One of the things that just rang in me was the statement in there, God loves children. God loves children. I started in children's ministry at the age of 14, and you just never quit. You can't. And I just love kids. When I first started at Christ Victory Church, trying to get kids to warm up to you isn't always the easiest thing. It took me 2 weeks. And kids started coming and giving me hugs. And there's one family that the family background is just horrendous. It's a really bad family story. But the wife comes and she brings her daughter and her two boys. And her two boys are trouble. No, they're trouble. Except when you start to love on kids like that, you find out that the trouble isn't the kids. The trouble is, nobody cares about them. When you start loving on them, it just brings all the good right on out of them. And this one little kid, I mean, you could just tell, he was always something going on in there all the time. And you could just expect, before the day was over, he was going to be in trouble. And his mother made the statement one day about, I just really have to sit on him. And I said, well, if you do that, he's probably going to pinch you. He's just going to be like that. So I just started loving on him and just picking on him, you know, just treating him like he's one of my own kids. He came into church the other day and he walked in and he said, I suppose you want a hug. And I said, you suppose correctly. And he came over and he gave me a great big hug and I said, you know something, I really love you and I think that we're going to get along. And he just grinned from ear to ear. I know we can impact the world if we'll just minister to our kids. God wants us to take care of the future. If you believe in the future, you're going to minister to your kids. I'll get off this soapbox eventually, but not today. John chapter 9, beginning verse 4, it says, Jesus is speaking. He says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, as we look into your word, the Bible tells us clearly that your word is life to us, that your word is light to us, that your word comes and it brings healing to us, that it brings deliverance from all our destructions. So, Father, we receive your word. We receive enlightenment. We receive revelation. We receive, Father, all that you have for us, that we might rise to be all that you've called us to be. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I receive.
I receive.
Jesus came to the earth to bring us salvation. And how many of you know Jesus was a multitasker? Right? He came to bring salvation, but while he was here, he made sure that he used his time efficiently and he became our healer. He became our deliverer. He became everything that we needed for life and godliness, and he imparted it to us. Amen?
Amen.
He is, the Bible says, made unto us wisdom. He is our righteousness. All of these things happened at once. It wasn't something that he finished one job and then he could start another. My wife and I get into discussion from time to time. My wife is an abstract thinker. She does not think along linear lines, and how she gets from point A to point B, I will never, ever understand. Any men understand where I'm coming from? We will be married this year. It'll be 37 years. One of the things she says to me fairly regularly is, you think by now you'd know how I think. And I told her, I believe in miracles, but I'm not there yet. The funny part is, she can only do one thing at a time. You'd think somebody who thinks like she does could do multiple things, but she has to be focused on the thing that she does. And she gets so mad at me because I can only think one direction. I'm a linear thinker, no two ways about it. A to B is a straight line, there's no other way. But I can do five things at once. I'm Navy trained. I can talk three conversations at the same time coherently. I am. I had to. It was that you were forced to do it. And you can be trained to do those kind of things. I just figured that it came naturally because when you're the oldest of seven kids, you got to know what mom's saying, you got to know what dad's saying, and you got to watch out what the kids are saying because they're talking about you. God wants us to be able to multitask just like Jesus did and be in the earth what he is. Jesus said, I am, as long as I remain in the earth, I am the light of the world. But then he says here in Matthew, you are the light of the world. Well, which is it? Well, it was that he was the light of the world because he was here. But when he left, he imparted to us the responsibility and the authority to be the light of the world. And then he goes on and says that as part of this, we are to let our light shine by the works that we do. Now look at the person next to you and say, salvation doesn't come by works. But it sure is revealed by them. Amen? I don't have to ask whether or not somebody's a Christian. They can show me by what they do. I can tell by the words that come out of their mouth. If they don't speak redeemed, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you don't speak redeemed, trust me, you got a lot to learn. Now, you do understand that we speak, normally when we're teaching, we speak in generalities and we speak in ideals. Okay? And we're shooting for the ideal, right? How many of you here have attained the ideal? I'll sit down. You can teach. How many of you are in process? How many of you are dead? We're in process, right? We start somewhere and we're headed for a target. And our target is that we'll be just like Jesus. One of my favorite things is to have a Christian tell me, well, you know, I don't have the training to do. You don't have training to do what? Dwight, do you love your wife? Mm-hmm. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about it.
Do you have that much time?
How much time do you need? Why is your face getting red? If Dwight can't tell me how much he loves his wife and how he loves his wife, what do you think she thinks about it? Yeah. It comes down to this: telling people about Jesus is just telling them about my relationship. Let me tell you about how Jesus changed my life. If it weren't for Jesus, I'd be dead. Thank God he's my healer. If it wasn't for Jesus, my life would be a shambles. I come from a family of drunks. I would gladly have followed in that tradition. When it's all you know, that's what you do. When you come from a family of abusers, abuse is normal. And it's nothing to fall into abuse because, I mean, after all, that's what abusers do, right? But I'm not an abuser because my God has delivered me. I'm not a drunk because my God has delivered me. I'm not a drug user. My God has delivered me. I'm not a womanizer. My God has delivered me. There are so many things that in our history we can look at and say, if it weren't for Jesus, this is who I'd be. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for deliverance. The Bible says, let your light so shine so that everyone can see it, so that everyone can know who you are. Don't be ashamed of being a Christian. 1986, I had a little fallout with the United States Navy, and in that process of the fallout, I got to spend 60 days in jail. And during that 60 days in jail, it was a time of great testing and trying, and I remember wrestling with God saying, I did what you told me to do. What am I doing here? I thought you took care of the righteous. Of course, you know, then he takes you to the story of Joseph and says, and how unrighteous was Joseph? And it's like, oh, never mind. Let's get my attitude right so I can get out of here. And I want you to just see how your attitude affects everything. I'm sitting at my own desk. I'm in jail, okay? I'm sitting at my own desk with my own computer in my own office. I have had all of my security clearances taken away, and I am in charge of the top secret library. In jail. It gets better. Before the story's all over, I get nominated for the Navy Achievement Medal. And if it hadn't been for the executive officer, I'd have got it too. But anyhow, strategic positioning. You don't put a lighthouse someplace where it doesn't benefit anybody. A lighthouse is positioned to give people navigation direction so that you can keep them off the rocks, you can keep them away from a hazard, you can keep them from being destroyed. And here I am sitting at my desk with my computer thinking, I'm just at a loss for why in the world God would send me to jail when I did what he told me to do. And this guy comes walking around the corner and he walks up to my desk. His name was Hernandez. And he says, hey, you're a Christian. Well, how did that word get out already? He said, there's a guy in my shop that I've been witnessing to for about 6 months. Would you talk to him? Sure, no problem. What's his name? His name's Scotty. I said, sure, time to come on over. A couple minutes later, this little black kid comes walking around. Scotty stands about 5'8". He's 17 years old. It's his first time away from home. He's got his macho on. He comes walking around, and he stands at the side of my chair, and he says, hey. And I said, what? He said, what's it like to live as a Christian? And I said, Scotty, it's really living. And I went back to doing what I'm doing. That's the only question he's going to ask. It's the only one I'm going to answer. Hernandez has been witnessing to him for 6 months. There's not one thing I'm going to tell him about Jesus that he hadn't already heard. So I'm standing there and he goes, hey. And I said, what? Would you pray with me so I could receive Jesus? Hallelujah. I said, any day of the week. And we prayed right there. And I said, now, Scotty, go call your mama and tell her what you just did. That's the Holy Ghost just bubbling up on the inside of me. And he went. Now, his desk was on the opposite side of the bulkhead. Ships are made of metal. There is no such thing as sound isolation on a surface ship. Whatever's going on the other side of the wall, you hear it as if you're sitting right there. Which was cool in this case. Because he went around and I heard him pick up the phone and I heard him dial and I heard him say, Mama? Yes, Scotty, something. I mean, I can hear her. The phone is that loud. I said, yes, Scotty, something wrong? I said, Mama, I just prayed and asked Jesus into my heart. Wow. You would have thought it was the 4th of July. I mean, she just exploded. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, she is shouting. She was from Mississippi, and I mean, that southern accent was just coming through. A little while later, he was walking back over. He said, how did you know? And I said, Scotty, this is life in Jesus. This is what it means to be a Christian. About 15 minutes later, Hernandez comes around. He is just fired and mad, and he is just, what did you say? I've been witnessing him for 6 months and he wouldn't even pray with me. What did you say to him? And I went, really? Really? You're going to be upset about the fact that he got saved? Go rejoice with him. I said, maybe now he'll actually listen to what you have to say because I'm not going to be here and you are. God strategically places us where we are, that we might be a light to those who are looking for us. They're looking for us. They're not trying to avoid us. They're looking for us. They want to know how to get to heaven. They want to know how to be relieved from their sin. They want healing. Whether they'll ever ask for it, they want healing. They want deliverance. It's better to be free than it is to be bound. The demoniac of the Gadarenes did everything in his power to get free, did everything that the religious community required to get free, and nothing happened. And when Jesus showed up, he came and he fell at Jesus' feet because he found freedom and he knew this is the place. The light shined and he came right to where the light was, and it should be the same thing for you and me. We're here to make a difference. We're here to do the works of him until he comes. Here at CWI, we are doers of the word, not hearers only. Amen? Amen. Oh, no, come on. Here at CWI, we're doers of the word, not hearers only. Amen?
Amen.
If you have to declare it by faith, declare it by faith. Say it out loud.
I am
a doer of the word, not a hearer only. I'm out there doing it. Day in and day out, I'm doing it by faith, and I'm getting results. As the flagship of the Armada Network, this is the model that other organizations, other churches look to go, what are they doing? This is the place that models the way it should be done. This is the place that people look at and go, so that's how you develop leaders. So that's how you develop those who can go on and make a difference in the world. This is a place that gives birth to world changers. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, Chester, you can do better than that. You thought he'd have jumped up and shouted. We take the commissioning of Jesus seriously. When he said, go into all the world and make disciples, we didn't think that that meant go into all of Lancaster County. Amen? We will impact the world. Nation to nation, continent to continent, wall to wall, we will change the world. That's why we're here. Right now, our fearless leader is off praying over foreign lands. I hope you're ready for him when he comes back. I don't mean that lightly either. I hope you're ready because his intention is to make sure that he has the mind of God for the future. When he comes back, he's not going to be talking to you about what we're going to do this year. He's going to be talking to you about what the future holds. How this church, as the flagship of the Armada Network, and how the Armada Network as a whole is going to impact the world. When he does, you should meet him with such expectation, such eager expectation, anticipation of what's coming, that you are ready to rise up in faith and be everything that is necessary for that vision to go forward. That's going to stretch you. It's going to stretch every one of us. It's going to stretch us because God never thinks as small as we do. God, when he starts laying out a plan, we look at that plan and go, why are you giving it to me? I can't do that. Fellow walked into my office the other day and he said, Pastor, there's 145 acres of land adjacent to the church. It's for sale. And I said, I saw the sign. And he said, we should buy it. Okay. With what? You know, if he's got money, I'm all ears. And he said, no, I was praying about this. I feel like we should buy the property. And I said, okay, I think. What are we going to do with 145 acres? So I'm looking at it and thinking, okay, Lord, this didn't just happen. I'm not just here by accident. This property isn't just coincidentally for sale. Something's up. What are you doing? And I began to soak it in prayer. Now, first Sunday in May, we'll actually present it to the congregation, but as we've been soaking it in prayer, one thing after another has just popped up that God wants to do with this property. And I'm looking at it and going, I never did anything this big. Why you got me doing it? So, we get together and we're talking about it, and this fellow said, do you know how much money that they're asking for this property? And I said, I have no idea. And he said, I'll find out. And he's all excited. And I'm thinking, we got no money to do this with. Why are you excited? He goes out and he comes back and he says, they only want $449,000 for it. It's swamp. I went walking on the property. I said, if you don't wear boots, don't go. And I'm looking at him thinking, $449,000? These guys are nuts if they want that kind of money. And I mean, there's some usable parts to it, but as I'm looking, I'm thinking, what in the world? God, what are you doing to us here? What is it that you're up to? And I just began soaking it in prayer. Because if you're going to be a light, then you better shine in a way that people look at and go, this is a good thing. Not in a way that people go, what were they thinking? So as we're looking at the property, he comes back to me and he's even more excited. And I said, Wayne, what happened? He said, I talked to the owner. And I said, okay. And he said, he really wants to know if we want the property. And I said, okay. And he said, he said he would sell it to us and he'll hold the note for 5 years. And I said, well, praise God. That's a start. And he said, he's going to call me back. He said, I'm just believing God that he's going to drop the price. And I said, okay, I can agree with that. Drop it to nothing. I'll be happy. and as we're discussing this back and forth, you know, everybody wants to talk about, oh, we can do this with the property. Oh, we can do that with the property. And I said, first of all, let's get the property. Before we do that, let's just discern for sure whether or not this is the will of God that we get the property. There's nothing like going into bondage for no reason. And so 2 days later, he comes into my office, and he is just beaming from ear to ear. And he said, guess what? And I said, what? He said, he dropped the price. I said, okay, what price? He said, it wasn't 2 hours after I talked to him the first time. He called me back, and he said, I just feel like God wants me to make you a deal on this property. He said, 145 acres, $300,000. He dropped $150,000 off the price without any pressure, without asking for it. Now I'm nervous. God might actually want us to do something. So I'm looking at the property. I'm looking at what it's going to cost us. I'm looking and I'm thinking, oh, God. We don't even pay our youth pastor because they say we don't have enough money. How are we going to talk these people into spending this kind of money for this kind of property? And the Lord started just laying things out and showing me. He said, first of all, I'm not dependent on them to pay for it. Ooh, okay. Okay. Second of all, he started laying out things that he said, there are things that you'll do with this property will be an income producer, not a drain. Hallelujah. I like that. So he starts sharing things with me. One of the first things he said was, I want you to have a cemetery. Oh. A cemetery? And he said, yes, a cemetery. He said, nobody believes that this church is here to stay. The church has only been there 17 years. He said, nobody believes this church is here to stay. He said, if you put a cemetery in, they'll know this church is committed to this community. Okay. Different cultures measure different ways. If you're going to be a lighthouse, you better have a signal that can be discerned by the people you're trying to reach. And he said, and I love this, he said, and I don't want one of those that you can't tell it's a graveyard either. Which means none of the flat to the ground markers. We're going to have monuments. God's into monuments. I don't know if you've read your Bible much, but God's into monuments. He said, there will be testimony to my glory in this place. And it will be carried on those stones as well as in this house. That gives me goosebumps. And I said, okay, well, what do we do then with the rest of the property? Because that'll take all of 5 acres. And he started then showing me other things. We're going to have different things that are going on all over. And it's just cool when you start looking at it laid out. Now, we still haven't decided to buy the property. Still don't have any commitment on it. But I'm going, at least I know this is God. If these people go with God, praise God, I'm on board. If these people don't go with God, that's God's problem, not mine. I'm still going to lead them. I'm their shepherd. I'm still going to be a light in the midst of this congregation no matter what. I'm their shepherd. God wants us to be the kind of people that make a difference in our community. He wants us to be the kind of people who stand out. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, you know what it says, because I know you've heard it preached at least once here, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. What did he do? It says he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because the Lord was with him. He went about in his day-to-day activity, coming in contact with people. He went about doing the things that demonstrated the heart of God. He went about doing things that showed people what God's really like. How many of you believe that God is a good God? Amen? How many of you believe God wants something good for you? My wife just finished teaching a course called Live Long, Finish Strong, based on Gloria Copeland's book. Fantastic book. If you haven't read it, get it, read it, live it. And in this, one of the things that we talked about was that we expect the people in our church to live a long time. We expect them to have a life that is full and satisfying. And we expect them to end it on their appointment healthy. Strong and vigorous to the end. Fruitful and productive to the end. Because the Word says that. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil because the Lord was with him. Jesus is walking up the street one day. All of a sudden, cops in his face saying, stop, funeral procession coming through. Well, who is it? What's the story behind it? Well, see that old lady there? She's a widow, and this was her only son, and he died, and poor thing, she's on her own now. And Jesus steps back and says, poor thing. No, what's he do? He steps in, stops the hearse. The mother comes running up saying, what are you doing? That's my son. And you know she's in tears. That's my son. What are you doing? Opens the hearse, pulls out the coffin, opens the lid and says, boy, get up. Amen? Got to put it in today's picture. I mean, come on. It's not nearly as dramatic that he got up off a cot. Children's ministry. Think in pictures. And the guy gets up. Revival on Main Street. Because not only does the woman get her son back, Jesus now has a crowd. Because he stopped the funeral procession. Everybody wants to know what's going on. There are people gathering all around. And Jesus never lets a crowd go to waste. He shares with them the good news. Be light where you are. And when you run into those opportunities for ministry, don't pass them up. Obey the nudges of the Holy Ghost. If you got the least little hint that God wants you to share something, do it. What have you got to lose, especially if it's a stranger? They're never going to talk to you again? Big deal. What happens if you do what God tells you to do? It radically changes their life forever, and you get to spend eternity with them. What happens if that one person that you happen to minister to in Walmart brings down the house because they go to shouting and jumping? You know, that happens. People get excited when they get healed. And the next thing you know, you're explaining to 10 more people, and then you're explaining to 20 more people, and the next thing you know, the manager of Walmart is saying, security. That'll get a crowd every time. Yep. It's time that we were light where we were. One of our ladies works at Walmart. She works in the pharmacy there. She had a dream, and in this dream, she dreamed that somebody came in to rob the pharmacy at gunpoint. And she dreamed that several people got shot, and she actually dreamed about stepping in front of a bullet and saving someone else's life. Really shook her up. I mean, really shook her up bad. I mean, it was so real. She literally, she woke up sweating and told her daughters, and she said, it's just too real. I think God's trying to get this across to me. This is going to happen. And her daughter, I thank God for her daughter and her spiritual insight. She said, Mom, it hasn't happened. God may have shared that with us so that we could intercede so that it won't happen. Or so that at least if it does happen, nobody gets hurt. 3 days later, fella showed up at Walmart with a gun with the intention of robbing the pharmacy. And for some reason, and everybody talking about the situation across the board says they don't understand why, the sheriff decided to serve a warrant on him in the Walmart parking lot before he ever got out of the car. She said, but what about the part where I stepped in front of a bullet? I said, that is what intercession does. It gets between people and the problem and makes a difference. We are the light of the world. We are here to make a difference. For so long, we've heard so much preaching about how we need to go into all the world, and we've put a connotation on it that we need to go to foreign lands. Well, let me ask you, are your next-door neighbors born again? Are the people that you work with born again? Are the people around you who are in need waiting for you to be the one to share with them? When was the last time you did a missions trip to Target? Now, you're laughing. I don't know why you're laughing. My friend Keith makes a point once a week to make a missions trip to Walmart. He goes not with the intention of shopping for anything. He goes looking for somebody who needs to be healed. And he walks up and he sticks out his hand. He says, hi, my name is Keith. And it's been known that when I pray for people, they get healed. Can I pray for you?
Yes.
And he said, invariably, people say yes. And they get healed. Amen. Doubled the size of his church. Because people want the real deal. When you're a light sitting on that hilltop, shining for all to see, people are drawn to you. They come to you. They recognize that you're different than everybody else. And when they get to you, they realize, you saved my life. I had somebody come in to me the other day and they said, you have no idea what impact you've had on our lives. I was like, I didn't do anything. Oh, yeah, you did. No, really, I didn't do anything. Oh, yeah, you did. You obeyed God. Well, I came and he put his arm around my shoulder. I hate when this happens in the church where you're a pastor. When somebody comes and they put their arm around your shoulder, you're always wondering, okay, what's next? And he put his arm around my shoulder and he said, can I share something with you? And I said, sure. He said, I am so thankful that God sent you here. You are tailor-made to lead this church in what God has for us. Okay. Hallelujah. When we look at the things that are out there and available to us, there's so many things that we can do. There's loads of opportunities. There's always more opportunities than there are people to fill. Always. We definitely have an employment problem in the church because there's always more jobs than there are people to fill. And you say, well, no, it can't be the case. I said, first of all, intercessors, there's never enough. There's never enough. Children's workers, never enough. Never enough. Worshippers, never enough. I didn't say worship team, I said worshipers. Amen? God wants us to be what He called us to be. You are the light of the world. Shine. Amen? God may give you something special that you can use to get that message out, and that's wonderful. Maybe that you have a business opportunity that lets you just shine like never before. That's great. That's wonderful. But maybe you get to be that nameless, faceless somebody who shared the gospel with me when I was at Walmart. And I don't even know where they go to church. I don't even know. I don't remember any of that, but I know one thing. I wouldn't be in heaven today if that person hadn't shared with me. You might be the one who witnesses to their waitress in the restaurant Hazor puts you off completely, goes home, kneels down beside her bed and says, Jesus, if you're real, I want what they've got because I don't have it. If you'll give me what they've got, I'll follow you. You might be the one that God uses to step up and be the one who lays hands on somebody that their life is spared because you interceded for them and brought healing to their life. You're here for a reason. You're not here by accident. Grandma Robinette was 93 years old. Such a heart for missions. This woman, always, her whole life, always wanted to be a missionary. But circumstances never lined up that she could actually go to the mission field. But she had a list of missionaries she prayed for every day. Took my friend Cliff Graham to meet her because I just loved her heart. She just has such a heart. And I just wanted him to meet her. And he went in and with the thought that, well, we're going to go pray for Grandma Robinette. And she was in the hospital. She was only alive for two more weeks after this visit. But we went into the hospital and she starts talking to him about her desire for missions. Tell me about your missions projects. Tell me about what you're doing. And he explained, you know, I work with nothing but youth, and this we have this thing going on, that thing going on. And as they shared back and forth, she just was so excited about the things that were going on in his ministry. And we got ready to leave, and when I normally would say, Grandma Robinette, can we pray for you? Cliff turned to her and said, Grandma Robinette, would you pray for me? And he knelt down beside her hospital bed, and she laid her hand on his head, and she began to pray. And I mean, the power of God was just all over that place. And she prayed several specific things. There were six specific things that she prayed over him. From there, he went to Europe. I mean, it wasn't just a few days, and he was in Europe. And he went all over Europe over the next 6 months. And he came back, and when he came back, he stopped by the house, and he just stopped and he said, did Grandma Robinette go home? And I said, yeah. He said, then she knows. She knows everything she prayed for manifested on this trip. Hallelujah. Being light is not about being prominent. Being light is about being what God called you to be. If you're an intercessor, be an intercessor. If you're a teacher, be a teacher. If you're a children's worker, be a children's worker. If you're a businessman funding the gospel, then be a businessman funding the gospel and watch what God will do. And if God calls you to step up and do something that everybody can see, be humble. You just get to be one of the lucky ones that get to do that. Thank God we can change our world by being a light. Amen? Be blessed. Yeah. Hallelujah. I am more than a conqueror. I am full of power and authority. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am excited whether you like it or not. And I am contagious.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, the world is more than willing to duplicate itself. It's more than willing to replicate without any thought about what the impact will be. The least we can do is give them a run for their money.
Amen?
Amen. It's time to rise up and be the church. I don't know how much longer we'll have the freedom to do it openly. You know, it depends on who you listen to. The fearmongers tell you we got about a week. The optimists say we have thousands of years, or millions, depending on which book you're reading. But I'm going to tell you what, Jesus is coming again. And before he comes, it's not all going to be good. The Bible says in the last days that perilous times will come. Jesus said, I must work while it is day because the night is coming when no man can work. There will come a time when we're not going to be able to freely and openly do what we do now. I'm not afraid of those days. I've got friends who've been through some of those days already. They did it. They served. They saw miracles that I dream about. There in Burkina, we've got people who are living in a Muslim nation who are experiencing divine visitations on a regular basis, knowing that at any moment, one of their neighbors could walk in, cut off their head, and it'd all be over on this earth. And they're not ashamed. They're not holding back. They're going out, and as a result, the largest people group that is converting from one religion to another is Muslims converting to Christianity. When we first went to Burkina, there were no Christian churches. Last time I was in Burkina, the Assemblies of God had assembled 200 of their churches in Burkina for a missions conference to send missionaries to all of the surrounding countries. Hallelujah. Making a difference. Changing the world. Amen? Does this help you at all? Are you blessed? Are you encouraged? You ready to go? You ready to give? You ready to shout?
Hallelujah.
Ready to go?
Yes.
Ready to give?
Yes.
Ready to shout?
Yes.
Now we're getting there. Two or three more times and you'll be there. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you that you've got a plan. But more exciting than that is we get to be part of it. We get to see your plan brought forth in the earth if we'll just obey you. And Father, I can't speak for anybody else, but I want to be part of what's going on. I want to be right in the thick of it. I want to be right in the middle of the next outpouring, of this outpouring, of every outpouring that comes until I'm gone. Lord Jesus, I want my life to count for something in your kingdom because you count in my life. Father, use us for your glory. If our light has dimmed, then by all means put the bellows to us so that the fire brightens. If we're just smoldering, set us ablaze. Pour on the oil, Father, that fuels us and causes us to burn brightly. Rise up in us, O God. Rise up in us. Give us your heart. Let us see with your eyes and hear with your ears. And yes, Father, if we have your heart, our hearts will be broken. But Father, I'd rather have my heart broken for something that really means something eternally than to get to heaven and find out that there were people who missed out because of my negligence. Father, we're here. Use us. Use us for your glory. Use us, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God's been dealing with you, and you know that it's time to step up. Something new is going on inside of you. And you are just not satisfied anymore. You just, the same old church just ain't going to cut it. Doing things the same old way. You don't have to stop playing. It's all right. Sounds so much more spiritual when you play. But you know that God's been dealing with you and it's time to step up. I just want you to make that declaration by coming and standing here publicly saying, I'm stepping up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is not about anybody praying over you because that's not what this is for. This is about your declaration. It's about you saying, things are going to change. I'm stepping up. But I do want to warn you that there's going to be a cost with it, because things are going to have to change. Things are going to have to change. Priorities are going to change. Lots of stuff is going to change. By this declaration, you're putting a date on it. You're saying, this is it, this is it. From this day forward, nothing's going to be the same. From this day forward, as God speaks, I obey. I remember making that distinct statement and following it with, and Lord, I'm terrified. Because I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know where I was going to end up. I didn't know what I was going to be doing. And those faith people, you know, they're all poor. I've read all the stories about John G. Lake and Smith Wigglesworth, and looked at all the fights that they went through. But listen to me. God called you. God will empower you. God will do everything that it takes to make it happen. All you have to do is just yield to Him. From this point forward, things will change. And as you listen, just do whatever He tells you to do. You could be the next Steve Jobs that funds the gospel, instead of being the guy who funds stupidity. The next Bill Gates. But your foundation takes the gospel to the world. Changes everything. You could be the next John G. Lake, going to the nations. You could be that children's minister. Listen to me. You can be that children's minister who imparts to that little one what it takes for them to be the next Billy Graham. What it takes for them to be the next Oral Roberts. What it takes for them to be the next Dale Armstrong. Don't put back anything that God brings forward. If there's anything that God's dealing with you with that you need to clean house, get it taken care of, because there's no room for it anymore. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Let it go. If fear's an issue, go spend time in His presence. He is love, and the Bible says that in perfect love, fear is cast out. As you hang out in His presence, the fear will go. It'll go. It's just a fact. It'll go. Thank you. Father, look right here. The book of Malachi says that You took note there in heaven, that there was a book of remembrance written. You said of those who pursued You that You would make a difference between those who were Your people and those who were not Your people. So look, Father, look right here. You're making a statement. Present it to You, Father, to notarize. This statement stands. A memorial stands today in this place. From here, everything changes. Father, I come into agreement with them for their destiny. I come into agreement with them for provision. I come into agreement with them for wisdom. I come into agreement with them for understanding. Oh, Father God. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Father, pour out a blessing. Blessing, blessing, blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.